Good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud. Tonight on our show, we have had spoken word artists and some great poets on our program before, but tonight we have our first rapper as Columbia hip-hop artist Nick Danger will tell us about his new EP and his career that he's trying to make for himself as a rapper. It's a really fun conversation, a guy that I've known for quite a few years and has something really interesting to tell us tonight. Also, this weekend, it's the Central Missouri Renaissance Festival. Doug Wilson, part of the team that's putting that together, will have a preview of all the fun they'll be having out at the Kingdom of Callaway this weekend with the Renaissance Festival. Rap music with Nick Danger and the Central Missouri Renaissance Festival tonight. Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. All right, good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud here on KBIA. We have had a great variety of different styles of music featured on the more than 10 years that we have done this show, everything from classical to rock and roll, country, and everything in between. Tonight, though, our first rapper, and he's a guy like I mentioned in the open, I've known for a lot of years, very, very good guy, and we're excited to see his career starting to really take off. Nick Danger from right here in Columbia, and we'll talk with him in just a moment. Also this weekend, it's a chance for you to get out and enjoy the Central Missouri Renaissance Festival. This festival has been growing by leaps and bounds over its 11 years, and we will talk with Doug Wilson, who's helping put that together, and tell you what you need to know if you'd like to go out and enjoy the Renaissance Festival. It's all ahead tonight, Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. It's Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. Nicholas Rodriguez is with us. He performs as Nick Danger, and the Columbia native has a new EP out. It's called Dark Days, Dark Nights, and he'll be performing at the Blue Note Halloween Night show that's going to be headlined by Kansas City's Tech N9ne. Fuego Bentley, who is also from Columbia, going to be performing that night. Nick, great to see you. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic. Talk to me, first of all, about the new release, because that's exciting stuff.
Okay, so Dark Days, Dark Nights is probably 2 years in the making. Just came from life experiences, and I named it Dark Days, Dark Nights because at the time when I was writing it, I was going through a lot, and it just felt like every day was really dark. Even during the day, it was just a real big struggle. And I just wanted people to hear it and be able to relate and know that during the hard times, you know, they're not the only one. There's a lot of people going through a lot of things, so this is just me releasing. This is me venting. It's like my music is my therapy. So.
I was just thinking that I've talked with a lot of different artists and a lot of different styles of music, writing, whatever it might be, acting, dancing, and that's a part of what goes on. It's just getting that out of them. In talking about lyrics, I saw a documentary that you were a part of, and you were talking about what Nick Danger is all about, and it was kind of cemented in the idea and centered in the idea of being yourself, of being authentic. Mm-hmm. Talk about why that's important to you.
I feel like being yourself is important because nobody's you, and when you're yourself, I feel like more people can relate to you. When you try to become something else or somebody else, there's nothing to dig for to really understand. You're just seen as the next person. So your story is not really heard because it's mixed in with everybody else's. It's just the same story and the same thing they've heard already. But when you come with your story and genuinely how you feel, you can't deny that. That's you.
We see a lot of performers play in a role, becoming a character, yeah, right? And that had to be a commitment that you made early on to just say, mm-hmm, that's not where I'm going with this.
No, the music chose me in the fourth grade, actually, in my composition notebook, and it was ever since then, that day that it happened, it was life-changing. It's like time stood still. It's just words can't explain that the feeling when that happened. And I say music chose me. I didn't choose it because from that point on, I was obsessed with it, and then it confused with my life. So.
Yeah. Let's talk about your background. You're from Columbia your whole life here, right?
Yeah, my whole life from Columbia, Missouri.
And an interesting family, and we should note at some point along the way here, in the interest of full disclosure, that I've known Nick since he was in about kindergarten, and I know your folks, terrific people. Your mom from St. Louis, your dad's from Venezuela, so there must have been an interesting mix of music in your life
as
you were growing up.
Oh, yeah, very diversified from my mom, my dad. you know, my grandma, we might listen to Chaka Khan, then Julio Iglesias, and then, you know, SOS Band and Led Zeppelin. I mean, I had a lot of different genres of music in my life at an early age, and they were pushed into my head. So I can remember every morning when I was a kid, my grandma would, my uncle used to record videos from the 80s, and they just play them nonstop. And so I, at an early age, I knew, you know, Chaka Khan, Led Zeppelin, Bobby Brown, Michael Jackson. So I grew up with that. When everybody else was growing up with different music, I was growing up with that along with the new music. So.
And you talked about getting interested in writing poetry in grade school. Were you reading poetry? Was this something that you'd been exposed to, or was it just something that, like you say, chose you?
It chose me. When I say it chose me, so we had a poetry unit, and when the unit was over and everybody was done, you know, they put up the composition notebooks. I was the one still staring out the window writing. It fascinated me. It overtook me, because I wasn't really good with talking with people. But when I noticed when I would write my poetry, people would understand me better. They're like, okay, now I understand where you're coming from, you know, with the metaphors, alliteration, and all the poetic devices. It just, my messaging and what I was about came through much more clear.
I've talked with a lot of poets on this program and writers on this program, and talked with, we had Aleke Barnstone in here a few weeks ago, who's the poet laureate of Missouri, and talked about the difference between writing for somebody to read on a page, or for you to read in a notebook, and the performance aspect of it. That's a different thing when somebody else is reading it aloud or when you were reading it aloud. At what point did you kind of make the decision, rather than just, I'm going to write this, I'm going to put it on a piece of paper, people can read it in their own time, in their own way, and getting up on stage and actually performing it?
When I saw the reaction between them reading it versus me performing it, I think that's when I decided, okay, I need them to hear me from me, not just the words on the paper. I mean, it's a whole different thing when you hear somebody deliver something, you know, with a certain type of conviction, rather than, okay, I'm going to read it. Because when you read it, it's your interpretation. It's you're hearing maybe possibly your voice along with their voice, and you're taking it in different. When I deliver it, you're going to know how I want you to hear it, because you're going to feel it in the way that it's delivered.
Our guest is Nicholas Rodriguez. He performs as Nick Danger again. The new EP is out. It's called Dark Days, Dark Nights. He'll be playing at the Blue Note, performing on Halloween night in a show there. You've got the artistic expression, and you get your joy, your satisfaction out of that. But this is also a business. You're trying you're trying to sell music. You're trying to sell tickets. You're trying to earn a living at that, and tour and perform before big crowds. And in watching you for a while now, you've got a knack, not just for being the performer, not just for being the writer, but the promotional side of things and getting your name out there and letting people know who you are and what's happening. And is that something that you kind of had, or did you have to develop that just out of self-necessity, man?
Yeah, it was developed, and it was a funny story, because when I was younger, I was always trying to perform, and I never could get in front of the people because the venues wouldn't let me. So I started promoting parties at venues. Then I became familiar with a booking manager. We established a relationship, and I did this over and over until they knew that I had a name from promoting parties and throwing events. So then I went back with my music, and they let me in the door that way. So
is that a pain, having to do that sometimes? I mean, you wish that people would hear that and go, oh, my God, this is so great, and you didn't have to worry about printing posters and the amount of work you do with the social media.
Yeah, I just got used to it. After a while, I just got used to it. I'm like, okay, this is what I have to do. This is what's going to make me stand out. Everybody's trying to fight their way through this thin door, and let me choose a different path, the road less traveled, and go down that and make it easier for myself. You know, a lot of people don't think outside the box, okay, let me take this path to reach this path. Or this goal. A lot of people are like, let me just stay on this path. This is the goal. It's not that simple all the time.
It's real easy to take music and put it in a box and have, you know, real specific definitions and genre. For people that aren't familiar with what you're doing, tell me what the music sounds like, what you're doing.
So it's hip-hop. It's rap. But it's based out of poetry. It's very, because it started with poetry. Then I had a live band, And in my live band, we did kind of like rock rap, like Rage Against the Machine. And then when we split up, I just listened to a lot more hip hop, and it became that, just a single act rap. Yeah. I would love to have another live band, but
we talk about this style of music, and I'm kind of interested. We were just talking before we came on the air about The Get Down, which is this hit TV show talking about Grandmaster Flash. There was the big movie Straight Outta Compton last year. Curtis Blow is still out there. Chuck D is still out there. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole generation now, and we're moving on into people that have grown up with this. Are we reaching the point where what's going to be done has been done, or are you still finding, whether it's yourself or another artist that you're hearing, is there still some innovative and some new stuff happening?
I think
there?
It's still innovative new stuff, because the world keeps evolving and sounds keep changing. And now that we have the internet, we can get on the internet and hear, get influenced by people from the other side of the world within seconds, within minutes, versus back when it would take a while to even get to the other side of town, even because a lot of people are on foot. Now everything's at your fingertips, so I think it's going to get easier, and things will become more innovative, and there'll be a lot of cross genres and a lot of fusion of genres. So I think that things will definitely be different, and they'll keep changing for the better and for the worse. You always have the good with the bad. So.
Some of the music that you mentioned is things that one might expect feeding into hip hop or rap, and some of that 70s funk and dance music, and Michael. What's the craziest thing you can think of that you say, you know, what really kind of influenced my music is something that one wouldn't necessarily associate with hip-hop? I mean, you mentioned Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, Def Leppard, The Doors, When You're Strange. just what he was saying, you know. Yeah. I can relate to every word, and it's so crazy. I guess that would be one that sticks out. I listen to Queen. It's really the words, man. A lot of people put these genres, but if you look at all the genres and you take you strip it of the beat and you just see the words or hear the words, you won't know the difference, really. Maybe, you know, in the way they're said or the rhythm, but it's the message behind all of this. People need to listen for the message rather than judge because, oh, that's I don't like that beat, or yeah, that guitar is, I mean, it all plays a part, but I think that the message is really important in whatever genre of music you like.
Nick, what's the dream? You could imagine a song from Dark Days, Dark Nights on the charts, on the radio, playing big concerts. Where do you really want to go with this? If everything breaks your way, where are you going?
I would like to travel the world and inspire, especially kids coming up. Because I noticed when I was coming up, when you say you want to be an artist, people look at you strange. Like, oh, you want to be an artist? Okay, that's nice, but okay, when you grow up, what do you want to be? It's like, no, I'm going to be an artist. That's where my passion and my drive is. And ultimately, I want to open a performing arts school for kids here in Columbia. So at a young age, you know, they can realize talent. I heard a story about the woman who created Cats, and her teacher told her mom, I don't know what's wrong with this girl. She won't sit still. She's crazy. So they took her to doctors, and one doctor said, pulled her mom to the side and said, she's not crazy. She's a dancer. And so they put her in a performing arts school, and then from that point on, look what she did. I think a lot of people see, you know, a kid who's energetic, and then they want to say they're hyperactive, and then, you know, ADHD this or ADD. Not saying those aren't real diagnoses, but I think a lot of times you just should look at different areas of the child rather than, you know, put a label on them, because a lot of kids are really creative and they don't have a creative outlet. Therefore, it comes out as a problem.
I find it interesting that you talk about wanting to be a positive influence, putting positive messages out there, and I've heard the music, and it's clear that that's what you're shooting for. Let's be honest, that's not always what's happening in hip-hop, that's not always what's happening in rap. And, right. And again, you've made that commitment at some point along the way. Tell me why.
Well, I just feel that you have to be a positive influence on the kids, because the kids are the future, and I also feel like self-expression is important, too. So sometimes when I express myself, my self-expression, it offends people. I can't help how you feel when I say what I say or I do what I do. They call it self-expression for a reason. But ultimately, I want kids to express themselves and a lot of times people want explanations for why you did this, why you said that, why was this vulgar word used here or this used there. But then again, I look and I say, well, there's wars going on, and why are those fought? And I ask a lot of different questions. People do things for different reasons, and I always ask, does it need an explanation? Can I just express myself to express myself? And if it offends you, you can change the station or take the CD out or flip the MP3. But, I mean, I want to be positive, but also want to say express yourself in that same breath. So I know some of my songs, people will be like, well, I didn't like that. I felt that was offensive. And I say, I understand why, but why is that? I want you to question, after you hear my music, ask yourself why. If you're asking yourself why, you know, why do I feel uncomfortable? If I invoke that feeling in you, why is that? Am I not the wrong person who's wrong? I think it's a good thing that happened. It's like when you read a book and you kind of get offended, like, why, you know, why is this? It's good. It's making something different happen. You're not stuck in the box. You're not going through the same pattern, the same cycle. It's not the same thing over and over. So, you know, I just ultimately want to be a positive influence on everybody, especially kids, but also let them know it's okay to express yourself. And sometimes, you know, when you go against the grain, you might get a splinter, but you have to keep moving.
It makes sense that people are going to talk about where they're from. Guys from Atlanta are going to rap about the ATL, East Coast, West Coast, Chicago. I really dug Stand Up Columbia and the video, a lot of familiar faces in that, and the thing you did with DJ Beats that we hear at Mizzou, Welcome to the Zoo, a lot. When you talk to people out there in the rest of the world, Memphis or New Orleans or wherever you might be, and they're hearing that, and they're saying, what's so cool about Columbia, Missouri? What do you tell them?
I tell them it's the middle of the map. We have everything is from here. We have the best of all sides, I feel like, because people travel through here, so we get influenced by a lot of different people. But we also have a lot of roots in music, you know, jazz and then blues and soul. I mean, you have Chump Change. And, you know, in Kansas City, there's jazz, the whole jazz district there. Yep. It's real musical. It's real. It's hard not to be influenced from the Midwest. I mean, you know, Ike and Tina had the club in St. Louis, and they used to come through Aretha Franklin. It's enriched with musical history in the Midwest, and a lot of people overlook that. They're like, oh, it's just Columbia, but do you know the history? A lot of people don't know where they've been, so they don't know where they're going. So people on the outside just look at it. They don't know what's what, so they just look at it, look over it like it's a flyover state. But I think that, you know, in the years to come, people will see otherwise.
I know there's been a lot of your own work in this, and you deserve a lot of credit for what's going on, but let's talk about the other side of that coin, what you've gotten from Columbia, people here that have helped you along the way.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people who have agreed, you know, what I'm doing, and they support the fact that I started young and I believed in something and I chased after it, and, you know, I influenced other people to follow their dreams, whether it be music, whether it be dance, acting, whatever it is. They like the fact that I'm saying, hey, if you believe in something, you should go after it. The whole, you know, city of Columbia has helped, and different, you know, local businesses, they've helped. They've stepped in and you know, they say, we appreciate what you're doing, so keep doing it. So, you know, shout out to everybody, especially the local businesses in Columbia who've helped, and the organizations who've really helped. So.
That's fantastic. His website is nickdanger.com. It's N-I-C, nickdanger.com. Again, the new EP is called Dark Days, Dark Nights, and you can catch him at the Blue Note Halloween night. Tech 9 out of Kansas City going to be the headliner for that show, and he's a big deal. Fuego Bentley, another rapper from here in Columbia, going to be there as well, and you can find out about that at thebluenote.com. Nick Danger, Nicholas Rodriguez. Man, it's good to see you. Thanks
you
for
too.
Your time.
Thank you so much.
All right, it's Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. Coming up this weekend is the 11th Annual Central Missouri Renaissance Festival. It'll be happening Saturday and Sunday out at Kingdom City from 10 to 6 both days. And Doug Wilson is here. He is the president of the group that's putting this on. Doug, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Darren.
I know people have a general idea, probably a picture in their mind of what the Renaissance Festival is all about, but tell us a little bit about what's happening this weekend, because it looks like fun.
Well, we'd love to have a proper Renaissance, but what we have more than anything else, a bunch of lively pirates. We'll have our fair share of Celtic dancers and Celtic singers. We'll have authentic food and we'll have non-authentic food. But tons of programming that will run from morning to night across 5-6 stages.
Those giant turkey legs, right?
Yes, we will have giant turkey legs.
All right. That's good.
And beer to wash it down with from Broadway Brewery.
Oh, very good. Very good. And you were telling me, I mentioned this was the 11th year that that you guys have done this. You were telling me before this has really been growing.
It really has. The first 5 years we were out at the Boone County Fairgrounds, and it was just a bunch of pop-up tents that were out there, lots of hay bale seating. And then you had a couple of members that were able to finance and buy some land out at the Hatton exit. And at that point, we've got about 30 acres out there that we have built up a proper fence, and we've built stages and some buildings out there. And the attendance just continues to grow and grow.
Again, it's happening 10 to 6 both Saturday and Sunday, the Central Missouri Renaissance Festival. They are online at centralmorenfest.org, and they have a Facebook page as well. The entertainment is going to be a big deal. I mean, you talked about the fact that there are dancers and music and a lot of that stuff. Tell me a little bit more about what folks are going to see while they're out there.
As far as the entertainment, we have, honestly, 21 different groups or individuals as part of our performing crew that's out there. It's predominantly going to be a lot of music, but you're also going to see some groups that are going to do some live steel fighting. You will find, like I've said before, some traditional Celtic singers. You will find dancers. You will find stage magicians. And then your body pirate acts that will be out there as well, just entertaining the crowds.
Fantastic. And again, happening Saturday and Sunday. Doug Wilson, our guest, the Central Missouri Renaissance Festival. These are happening all over the country, and it seems to be catching on more and more. Why do you think these are something that more and more people are getting into?
As far as the Renaissance festivals, you know, I really think that we have missed out on the opportunity of having royalty. And so we, as our class structure gets washed out a little bit, the Renaissance still has a very strong class delineation out through there. And I think that people are just intrigued with how that works and who has the high standing and who has the middle standing and the low standing throughout all of that.
And you get all of the good stuff of this era without any plague
and botulism. Yeah, we try to avoid that as much as possible and keep that away.
Roving bandits and all of the bad stuff. It's going to be happening Saturday and Sunday. Tell me how you got plugged in with this. This sounds like something that you're very passionate about doing and have done for a while now.
I'm a co-owner of Village Books here in Columbia.
Yeah.
And we were approached the very first year to hang up a flyer, and we suggested that we would take smaller flyers and we would just start bag stuffing. The second year, we got into it as a vendor, and because we wanted to support what was going on locally. And we continued to push and push and push. And then 3 years ago, after being a vendor for so many years, we decided to actually put our money where our mouth was and, you know, pick up shovels and, you know, shovel gravel and fix benches and to get into this. One thing led to another, and I find myself at the top of the food chain at the moment.
I bet. Talk to me about the people that are working with you. This has got to be quite an operation, putting it all together.
It really is. And it comes through the work of a small army of volunteers, volunteers that are coming from as far away as Kansas City, Springfield, the lake, up from Iowa, St. Louis. These folks are coming in, having worked other Renaissance festivals, coming in, giving us a hand, whether it's working in a ticket booth or being characters working the lanes with the other patrons that are out there. We've got a lot of local people here that help us out, and it takes a small army.
And I want to ask you about something there, because I'm sure there are a lot of people that are here local that do this one event a year, but it sounds like there are also some people that this is kind of their thing, and they're doing it in Kansas City, and they're doing it in other places, and they come out for years in October, and it's just kind of a lifestyle thing, it sounds like.
There is, and I can tell you that this year we've got, it's either 6 or 7 vendors that are from multiple states away. They're coming from California, Texas, Indiana. We've got someone from up in Minnesota that's coming through. And these folks actually will hit fairs across the country, much like you would see craft shows or something.
Sure.
But they would vend all across the country, and it's one stop to the next to the next to the next. Our festival represents the last festival of the season in truly the middle of the country. You're not going to find anything past us unless you go to Texas.
And you say vendors. What are they going to be offering?
The vendors can be offering anywhere from swords to clothing to wooden mugs, leather goods, chainmail.
Great.
Yeah, it's just just a ton of different things that's going to be out there. You'll find people that do painting and weaving. We've got crafters that are coming out to actually build furniture on site, wow. Actually making authentic bows from the period, and they will actually be doing that on site. So plugging in with both the regional and the local community to bring vendors together to show, you know, just the level of talent that's out there.
And if somebody's hearing this and kind of fired up about the idea of coming out again, it's 10 to 6 on Saturday and Sunday at Kingdom City, and people may have a vague idea, but you just go on 70, head east towards St. Louis. The Kingdom yep. City exit's about 15, 20 miles away.
Well, you'll take the 144 exit.
144, okay.
Yep. There is a fireworks stand right there at that off-ramp.
Yes.
And then you'll go about 2.5 miles on a gravel road to find the Boster Castle Fairgrounds.
If people are interested in coming out, then talk to me about tickets, what they cost, and you guys are a nonprofit, so talk about maybe what some of the money's going to go for.
Oh, yeah. Percentage of our ticket sales benefits both the Central Missouri Food Bank and Raptor Rehab. These groups will change up on us each year, and this year this is what we're sponsoring. Adult tickets are $12 at the gate, and what we are offering out there is if you bring in two canned goods, we'll take $2, up to $2 off of your ticket price.
Okay.
So that would bring it down to $10. Kids from 6 to 12 are $6 each, and then under that is free.
Nice. Okay. Well, again, it's happening Saturday and Sunday. If you want to find out more, it's centralmorenfest.org, the 11th annual Central Missouri Renaissance Festival. Doug Wilson, have a great time this weekend, and thanks for coming out to talk to us.
Well, thanks for having me again.
And that is our program for this week, Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Now, we want to be sure and tune in next Tuesday evening as Trevor Harris will be in the chair and has some really interesting stuff. We'll talk about a capital campaign that's going on with the Boys and Girls Club here in Columbia and some of what they're going to be able to do as they expand their facilities and do some other things with that funding. So we'll be talking about Boys and Girls Club. And also, it's the time of year where a lot of us are getting flu shots, people having to decide whether or not they're going to do that. We'll learn some more of the medical facts behind whether or not you should get a flu shot and what to expect from the flu this winter. And that's all coming up next week on Thinking Out Loud from KBIA. Remember, you can hear past programs at our website. Go to kbia.org and click on Programs for Thinking Out Loud. We also have a Thinking Out Loud Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and look for KBIA Thinking Out Loud. And I'm on Twitter at KBIA Morning. And that is our program for this week, Thinking Out Loud. Our thanks to Nick Danger and Doug Wilson, our guests on this week's show. Till next time, for Associate Producer Trevor Harris, I'm Darren Hellwedge. Have a great evening.